Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1, and I'll get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the message that you have been putting inside of me over the course of the last couple of weeks. I thank you, Father God, for the ignition of your word. I pray that you would send your spirit forth tonight to open up our eyes, open up our hearts, open up our spirits to receive what you have for us tonight. Let your Holy Spirit come and be our teacher tonight as we study your word, as we dig into the precious nuggets of your word, the anchor, the foundation of our faith. I ask that you would settle things around us, and that you would pour your word into our lives tonight. Ignite our faith. Strengthen us in the promises that are in your word. Compel us, Lord God, to press into you. Reveal yourself in your word. Bring forth wisdom through your word. Bring forth an understanding that surpasses man's understanding. Bring forth a knowing that calms our fears and our anxieties. Bring forth a fervency that ignites the passion within us, the desire, Lord God, for you, like the desire that you have for us. Let it burn within us, Lord God, as we read your word tonight. I thank you for every person who's listening, every person who will listen when this goes up on the website. And I pray, Father God, that you would settle things around us, calm things around us. That we can sit before you and receive of what you have for us tonight. I thank you, Lord. In your precious and most holy name, amen. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This passage of scripture is about the Son of God. And we are 4 weeks out from Passover right now. We are 4 weeks out from Passover. And there is a very special anointing that comes forth with each of the feasts. And in the Passover feast, there is an anointing that will come forth. There is a promise that God has for us to usher us into intimacy with him. It's a period of deliverance. It's a period of overcoming. But this year is an ushering of intimacy into him. Into him. What do I mean by that? In, what was it, Lord? I don't even remember. In January 7th of this year, I had a vision, and I shared this with you. I had a vision of a very large ancient door. And in that around that door, it had a big archway, and it was a very thick, heavy door. There wasn't a window in it, but there was a keyhole in it. And I said, Lord, what is this? And he said, and then I saw this image of a key, and this key was soaked in blood. The pathway up to this door was a rough and narrow pathway. But as that key went into the keyhole, the only hole in that door, and the door began to shift ajar, I saw light beaming forth from it. And I said, Lord, what is this? He said, I'm about to unlock the mysteries of my kingdom to my people in a profound way. A profound way. And I remember sitting, and I had been up very, very early in the morning when he spoke this to me. I think I woke up around 2 or 2:30 that particular morning, and I was just sitting before him. As I often do, I will just sit there and I'll pray, and I'm in the dark because I don't want any distractions to come in. The only distraction I have is my cat when I'm in prayer comes and curls up next to me because he feels the presence of the Lord. And I just sat there with my cat purring next to me. And I saw this door before me. It was as though it lit up my room when this door became ajar. I'm unlocking the mysteries of my kingdom to my people. Prepare. This is a profound statement that he made. He told me at the end of last year, I shared it after the gathering. In fact, I've been reviewing so that we can get that teaching, it's transcribed, to go out, the rise of the Samuel and Hannah generation. And in that teaching, I talk about what the Lord spoke to me in D.C. and on the way home from D.C., the shaking. 2020 was going to be a year of shaking. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, he said. But what remains will be an unshakable force. And every time I teach, every time I speak it forth, I'm telling the very same thing. Because what he is doing right now is stripping away our reliance on man, stripping away our reliance on ourselves, stripping away everything that is not of him. And what he's leaving in place is a rod, a force in the earth, an unshakable force in the earth. He's preparing us for the days ahead. And in this process, he is bringing forth a revelation of his word. Why? Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God. He was God. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. The revelation is in him. He is our Passover lamb. We are a month out, 4 weeks out from the Passover. What is the Passover bringing us? It's bringing revelation. It's bringing deliverance. It's bringing intimacy. It is opening up the mysteries of intimacy, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the mysteries of the deliverance of God, the mysteries of his spirit, the mysteries contained in his word. It's in him. Didn't Jesus sit at the Passover and break bread with his disciples and tell them, take, eat of my body broken for you. Take, drink of my blood poured out for you. We are to consume the Lord day after day, consuming. He is the Word. Consuming him day after day, He is the life. He is the light. He is the nutrients that we need. He is the revelation we crave. He is the savior of our soul. He is the warrior that leads us. He is the lamb that laid down his life for us. He is our pathway to intimacy with our Creator. He is our all and all. He is the great I Am. When God sent Moses to deliver the people, what did he say? Tell them, I Am has sent you to them. I Am has sent you to them. They'll know what that means because he is the great I Am. He is the creator of all. When Jesus spoke those words the night before Calvary, everyone flew back because there's such power and authority in his word, I Am. That same power and authority resides in us when we consume him day and night. Night and day. The mysteries of the kingdom await us, my friends. How do we receive the mysteries of the kingdom? It is that intimate time, that quiet time when the house is asleep and everything is dark and we wait upon the Lord. There's a beautiful song that's called He's in the Waiting. He's in the waiting. That's where we find him. He's in the waiting. When I hear that song and I worship before him, he's in the waiting. He pours into me a hunger to be in the waiting, a thirst that I crave because he's in the waiting. We're called to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Because Christ is righteousness. He, the great I Am, is righteousness. The mysteries of his kingdom await us, my friend. The mysteries of his kingdom await us. Bought and paid for with his blood, the mysteries of his kingdom await us. Is something that we crave, but I have to tell you, he craves it with you. If you knew how much he desired you, if you knew how much he desired you and had the full understanding of the depth of his desire for you, every breath that you breathe would be spent speaking out his name. He is the air that we breathe, you know. We can breathe in because he breathes out and breathes life into who we are. As we approach Passover, our Passover lamb who took upon his holy, sinless flesh, the sin and the stain that we emit. He awaits us. He awaits us. As we look upon that cross and we see the Passover lamb, the sinless one, the great I Am, who could have easily called down all of heaven to relieve him of the agonizing suffering of our sin upon his flesh. He used the restraint unknown by man to stay upon that cross. And finish the purpose for which he came, our Passover lamb. We can go all the way back. We can read about how Paul tells us that we have to be clothed with him. That word clothed means, let's see, Galatians 3:26 through 29 says that we're children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That word put on is like sinking in. Sinking in, being immersed in Christ. Having put on Christ. We are the children of God, which gains us what? The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We immerse ourselves in him. We clothe ourselves like a small child picks up their father's sweatshirt, holds it over their tiny frame, and it reaches to the floor, and they can't even get their little hands out, and the hood rests upon their head, and you see all their little eyes and their nose and their smile, and says, "I'm Daddy," immersed in their father's clothes. That's the immersion he calls for. He wants us to be immersed in him, to be so identified with him. We're like a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, immersed in him, enraptured in him, hungering to be him, to be like him, to be close to him. We can still smell his scent upon our garments. The longing that little child has is the longing that our Father has for us. When will we long for him like that? To immerse ourselves in him. It's a struggle, I know, since the very beginning, since Adam and Eve were created. You know, the Bible talks about creation. It's the most beautiful thing. The time in the garden was the most beautiful and precious time, and it's what we know so little about. And God brings forth revelation, and it's a beautiful revelation. The garden, a special place. All of the earth was created and formed by the word spoken by God, by the great I am. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, from the beginning, saw. He was there, and it was his words that spoke forth creation. It separated the darkness from the light. It brought semblance to it. They were all mushed together, but it brought semblance to it, separating as though his very light forced the darkness into the wings. His light brought life, and the darkness had to flee. His light brought revelation of what lay before him, the palate of the earth that he would form by his very words, separating the land from the sea, forming the animals with his word. He spoke it. He spoke it. There's 1,189 chapters in the Bible, and 2 of them are dedicated to the most incredible work of God, the masterpiece. the creation of man was something that he rolled up his sleeves and he got down and he formed us out of the dust. Everything else, every tree, every bee, every flower, every whale, every lobster was formed by his word. But man, this was precious. You were precious. And he said, let us create man in our image. Let us get down and form him out of the dust of the earth. And when he was looked upon and seen, this is perfect. This is the ultimate masterpiece. He breathed his life into his nostrils and his soul was linked with life. Life was birthed in that moment. Life, and I can imagine all of creation sang a song of worship to God because this would be the one set forth to take dominion over the earth. This would be the creation that would take dominion and bring order to creation. This would be the one, the first man, who would name all of creation. The birds would sing as God brought them to Adam and he named them one by one. The animals would skitter around. The bunnies would hop back and forth as he named them. Let's call this a rabbit, but when they're little, let's call them a bunny. Let's call this a cat, but when they give birth, let's give them the name of kitten. This will be a sheep, but when it is young, it will be a lamb. Let's define them and give them time to grow into the fullness of what they are. Intimacy in creation, a father and a son, as Luke said, Adam, the son of God, naming all of creation. What a beautiful time of intimacy. There was not a helpmate for Adam, so the Lord put him into a deep sleep, a sleep so close to death, but he would sustain him. As he pulled out that rib, and he sealed up the hole, and he formed the garden where he placed them. When he would come in with them, teach them about what the kingdom of heaven, the beauty that lies therein, the intimacy. I imagine Adam and Eve saw the angels. They saw the Father. They saw the Son. They would have seen the Spirit. They would have all and known them intimately. The beauty and the intimacy of the time in the garden is so precious. The Lord let me see a glimpse of this. A glimpse. As they knew no shame and they were clothed with his light, are we not to be clothed with Christ? As children of God by faith, have we not put on Christ? Are we not to be clothed with him? They were clothed with him, clothed with his light. nourished, strengthened the communion that they had with God. Their desire was not for one another. The Bible says they were naked and unashamed. Their desire was not for one another. Their desire was for their Creator. The desire for one another came after the fall. And as I studied this period of creation, and the Lord let me have a window peek into this window of creation, I began to see, and as the serpent beguiled Eve, the curse came upon him. And as Eve went and gave the fruit to Adam, this revelation came. They were clothed with Christ. They knew no sin. But when Eve sinned, Adam would have seen her clothing begin to dim. He walked in a depth of intimacy and understanding of who God was. And so did Eve. And when they sought the knowledge in the deception that the serpent brought them, when Eve took of that fruit, seeking knowledge instead of spiritual growth, Adam would have seen her light begin to dim. And when she came to Adam, he would have known. He had a choice to make in that moment. Would he stay in the garden alone and go on with God? Or would he eat of the fruit and go on with Eve? Make no mistake. Adam wasn't tricked by the woman God gave him. Talk about passing the buck. Adam wasn't tricked by the woman God gave him. Adam knew he had a choice to make. Would he go on in God? Or would he go with Eve? Why is that so important to understand? Because every day, my friends, we are faced with the same decision. Will we go on in God, or will we turn into sin? Will we go on with the Passover lamb, receive the revelation, the understanding, the intimacy, the nutrition, the communion with our Passover lamb? The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that await us behind that door. Even if it means we have to go alone, that pathway was very narrow. But will we choose to go off into sin? Are you willing to go on in God, to the places he's calling you in this hour? Are you willing to commune with him, to take, eat of this body that's broken for us, to drink of the blood that's been poured out for us? Or will we turn to the right and go off with the people? See, the mysteries don't come easy. Sometimes we have to press in. We have to press through distractions. We have to press through things that interfere The enemy comes in to bring division. He comes in to pull us away into our family, to pull us away into the distractions of the world, to pull us away anything to keep us from communing with God. As I prayed over what the Lord showed me about Adam and Eve, Adam having to choose between the woman he loved and his creator, my heart was so heavy. My heart was deeply grieved over this experience. It must have seemed like an impossible choice. And as I continued to pray over this, I began to see a different pathway, a pathway that God is calling us to. A pathway that God is calling us to. It takes us through the blood of the Lamb, through the Passover Lamb, and into His presence. And after we enter that presence, and the closer we get, you know that the temptation will continue to come. But what did God tell Eve? What did God tell the serpent in Genesis? Chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And we know that that represents Christ upon the cross. As his heel was bruised, crucifixion is the only death that takes place wherein the person who is being put to death, their heel is bruised. But I'm here to tell you that God is calling us to, when the enemy comes in, to bring division between us and our God, to be the great divider between us and our God. We are called to bruise the head of the serpent. That's our commission if we want the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's our commission if we want the deliverance and the anointing that comes forth through Passover. We are called to bruise the head of the serpent. Anytime he comes at us, anytime he comes at our family, we are called to bruise the head of the serpent. As I shared when we began this, the Lord told me that 2020 would be a year of shaking. And we've seen so much shaking and so much fear. You go to the store and the parking lot is packed. Food is coming off of the shelves. And the Lord is saying, I didn't call you to fear. I called you to faith. You are my children. I will cover you. I will shield you. As I shared last week about Psalms 91, that is our covering. We move forward in obedience and faith, and his covering rests upon us. Why? Because we are clothed with Christ, immersed in him. To stay under the protection and the covering of the Almighty, we must be immersed in him. It's a commission. It's a call that's drawn in by our heart and our desire to know him more, to enter into oneness with Him. With the very breath that we breathe. It's His and His alone. Where our hunger and our thirst is for communion with Him. And when fear tries to rear its ugly head, because it is, I know it is, we have to rest in Him. The closer we are to Him, the easier it is to overcome the fear. There's more danger outside from the panic that is coming from the fear-mongering of the media than from a virus. The Lord is calling us into deep places in Him. Deep places into Him. The precious places, the intimate places, the places where He comes in and He heals the layers of your soul and He replaces the wounds of your soul with His presence. So that you know Him, so that you hear Him, so that the still small voice of Him is all that you hear when man tries to provoke you to fear. He's in the waiting. When we wait upon Him, learning from Him, drinking Him in, understanding His attributes, understanding what it means to truly, truly know what it is to walk in love and of power and a sound mind, because He has not given us a spirit of fear. But a spirit of love. What kind of love? Love that goes to the cross. The plan from the moment that Adam and Eve fell was to send His Son to be the Passover Lamb. He gave us an example when Moses delivered the Israelites. When God came in and supernaturally delivered the Israelites, the Passover Lamb. When God brought judgment upon the nation of Egypt, it was the blood of the Lamb that protected the Israelites. Because that level of judgment comes in, and do you know what? It doesn't discriminate. It's on a mission. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. When they came in and they pulled Lot out only because Abraham pled for him. Lot would have been destroyed with them had Abraham not pled. Because destruction. It was marked for destruction. The judgment of God was upon Egypt, had it not been for the blood of the Lamb, the firstborn in the land. Every firstborn would have died. The protection required obedience. Obedience to the word of the Lord through Moses. So if we are to be covered by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Passover Lamb, what does that require of us? Obedience. Obedience. If we want to hear whether to go right or to go left, we have to know and understand obedience. And obedience requires that we crush the head of the serpent whenever he tries to rear his ugly head. This year, this season that we're in, He is wooing us into the secret place. He's wooing us to come behind that giant door with a key paid for by Him and His blood. to receive the mysteries of his kingdom. The great I am, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So traumatic was the work of the cross. So traumatic was it when he gave up the ghost, an innocent man wearing the sins of all mankind. So traumatic was it that the earth shook. The sun between 12 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon went dark. Everything went dark. The earth shook. The Roman guard assigned to watch Jesus to make sure that his loved ones didn't come and try to relieve him of his suffering and take him away. He was so impacted by what he witnessed as the sky went dark and as the earth shook that he said, "Surely this was the Son of God." He was impacted deeply within his soul, and his eyes were open to see the truth. Surely this was the Son of God. And as we know, as the earth shook and the rocks broke in two, people went by after the death of Christ. Later, after his resurrection, travelers went by, studiers of math and science and the earth, and they saw the way the earth broke. The rocks broke. Typically, in an earthquake, the rocks will break along the vein because that's the weakest point. They broke in a completely opposite way because the impact of it was so great. The impact in the earth. What did he say? That if these here did not worship me, even the rocks would cry out. The rocks cried out as he hung upon that cross and he gave up the ghost. The rocks cried out. Creation groaned as he hung upon that cross. The sun could not even shine upon it because the Son of God, the light of all life, he is light, he is light. The Son of God, his light, had dimmed as he gave up the ghost. The anguish that took place in our earth, in our atmosphere, brought darkness on the earth. As the earth opened up and as tombs, stones rolled away, the saints rose and visited their loved ones. They saw them. Death couldn't keep him in the ground. He brought forth life, and when he rose again, he would look upon the temple that had suffered greatly under the earthquake. And he would see that finally the work was done. As the veil, the very thick veil, all made of one piece of fabric, would have been torn from top to bottom. An impossible act. Samson couldn't have done it. Only the hand of God could have torn that veil. And finally, the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, the mercy seat was exposed for all to see, covered by his blood. Can you imagine the high priest? He would have been going in at that time to sprinkle the blood of the Passover lamb upon the mercy seat. Can you imagine what he experienced in that hour? The terror that struck him. As he went through his ritual of the Passover lamb, and he saw as the Passover lamb is hanging on Calvary, and the hand of God tears that veil. The thing that they had worked so hard to keep contained burst forth and released the presence of God. It stirred up the saints in the grave. The earth cried out because the earth knows his name. The waves and the wind, they know his name. They sang his praises. The rocks burst forth. In their own agony, my friends, the earth now is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, and he is calling us to be the fullness, to step into the fullness and enter into the fullness of our calling, the fullness of intimacy with him, the John 17 oneness with him, entering in, setting aside what man tells us and entering into the mysteries of his kingdom. It's those mysteries that will bring you to life. It's those mysteries that will heal your soul. It's those mysteries that will draw you into his presence, and those mysteries that will give you the authority you need to fight and to war and to weep. This is where the Passover Lamb is calling us in this hour. When man is outside living in terror, and the media is provoking them to greater terror, we are called to be the rock, to be the sons of God, to be a stabilizing, unshakable force in the earth. Our call. That's the path that we're on. We will not relent. The deliverance, the revelation, the intimacy that Passover brings us. The anointing that Passover releases through us. Let us prepare ourselves. Let us spend the next 4 weeks on our face before him, preparing ourselves. Many will try to pull you away, but here is the time. Will you go with them, or will you go on in God? Even if it seems as though you're alone, I can promise you, he, the creator of light, the light, awaits you on the other side of that door, where he will give you the mysteries of his kingdom. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, God, thank you. Father, so great, so precious. My God. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you for the work of the Passover Lamb. Thank you that you hung upon that cross because you so loved the world that you gave up your life, that we might have everlasting life if we will repent of our sin and come before you and accept you, asking you to be the Lord God of our lives. And we've lost that somewhere. The church has lost that somewhere. And Father God, as my heart breaks right now, my heart breaks for the church. My prayer, oh God, is that in the midst of the shaking, in the midst of the season, your people will rise up and step into the place that you've called us to be in. We would finally make that decision to submit to you, to immerse ourselves in you, to put on Christ and immerse ourselves in you. And demonstrate who you are to those we come in contact with, that we would become a church that is, Lord God, dedicated to ushering people into the kingdom of heaven, that's dedicated to evangelism, that's dedicated to leading people to you, that we would become the church, Lord God, that understands the seriousness of the season in which we live. And Father God, we would use this time as preparation for the days ahead. We are called to be that light, to reflect you, to represent you. To shine forth who you are, that men would be drawn to you. Forgive us, Lord God. Forgive the church that we have not been what you called us to be. We haven't desired you like you desire us. We haven't hungered and thirsted for you like you hunger and thirst for us. We have not sought out righteousness. We have not sought out your kingdom. We have fed our flesh and starved our spirit, and we're so sorry. Forgive us, oh God. Forgive us, oh God. Father, let us enter in to the place you have for us, each person. Each person with us, each person who will listen later, Lord God, they are called up out of the world into you, called into not an apathetic life with you, but Father God, a passionate relationship with you. One that craves holiness, that craves your will, that craves your ways, that craves the mysteries of your kingdom. Ignite the fire within us all, O God, that we would seek your face, seek you. Early in the morning will we rise up and seek you. Ignite us, O God. Ignite us. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. In your precious name.